Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
We've been talking about, ladies and gentlemen, on Let's Face the Issues, today's broadcast. What is the church? Who makes up the church? Let me remind you once again, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you straight through to the radio studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion. Love to have your input. Love to hear from you as to what you think in relationship to the church. There are a lot of people that think that the church happens to be the building that they meet in. Some think of the church as a denominational name. Well, I go to this denomination, to that denomination. But that is not the church. The church is the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. It is, if you please, the church is made up universally, the church universal. There's the church universal, the church local. The church universal is made up of the body of believers universally. Everyone that said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord makes up the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the church local, made up of the local baptized believers, the body of Christ, maybe different denominations. But if it is, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you want to be in a church and a denomination where the Word of God is taught correctly, where the Word of God is followed verse by verse and chapter by chapter, not just some philosophical rhetoric, not based on rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, the do's and the don'ts, and whoever can do the most or don't the most, then that indicates that you're saved. Salvation is not based on works. Salvation is not based on denomination. Salvation is not based on the denominational dogma. Salvation is based on placing our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps, a professor in the Bible College and Seminary, Conservative Theological University, and we're talking about the question, what is the church? Dr. Phelps, we were, before the break time, we were talking about the master plan of the church and what the purpose of God's master plan is for his, first of all, I believe you talk about it on the basis of calling us together and then giving us life together, etc. Share with our listeners today something about God's master plan. What is the overall view of what God is doing through his church today? Dr. Phelps, speak to us on that subject.
The book of Ephesians is filled with information about the church. And we find that in the church age in which we're now living, then, this age of grace, that God administers his affairs through faithful stewards who are of the body of Christ, his church. And those faithful stewards are people like you and me who are saved. The book of Acts chapter 2 tells us about how it began, and I believe it, how it continues. The Bible tells us they, that is the people, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The Bible tells us that all that believed were together, had all things common. The Bible tells us that they continued daily with one accord in the temple. That was their place of worship until they started meeting elsewhere. And they had breaking bread from house to house. And the Bible tells us in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So this body of Christ, as it's called in the scriptures, this church then is made up of people who are saved. They're born again. They have become believers. And God's master plan is to form one body of all believers in Christ from every nationality. In order to accomplish his eternal purpose, God is calling us out together. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you're called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that means believers are called to fellowship together. Together, we have fellowship in the family of God. One of the great truths I learned as a young Christian was that the church is where the family of God meet together.
That's
every
right.
Sunday.
Amen.
We have fellowship in the family of God. And I remember one time, I was studying in a college. I had left my home where I had been attending a little church in the country. And that one Sunday morning, for some reason or other, I was not in church, but walking by the church, by a church, I heard the sounds of singing inside, and my heart was just gripped because I realized that's where I should be.
Amen.
God calls us to fellowship together, and that's in the house of God. Another thing in God's purpose is giving us life together. According to Ephesians chapter 2, there was a time when we were all dead in sins. But God has quickened or made us alive in Christ. By grace we're saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So together we are fellow Christians. God is also reconciling us both, that is, both Jew and Gentile together. Ephesians 2:16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Together, Jewish or Gentile or whatever nationality, we are fellow worshipers. And God speaks of that being a very important thing. We are fellow worshipers. Each of us has the privilege and the responsibility of being in the Lord's house on the Lord's day where God's people are meeting together. Also, he is saying he is building us together. Ephesians 2:19 and 20 are some very interesting verses in the Bible, and it's written to us. So therefore, pay attention as I read these verses. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So that means together we are fellow citizens.
Yes.
In the household of God. God is building us together. The church is something God is building. And that happens continuously, day after day.
So, Dr. Phelps, let me ask you a question that perhaps some of the listeners may be asking. Is it possible to be truly saved, to be born again, blood-bought, Bible-saved, as I use the rhetorical term? Is it possible to be saved and not to want to worship, not to want to fellowship, not want to be with other believers? Is that possible?
It's something that I've wondered about also, Dr. Youngblood. Why would a person claim to be a Christian and yet not fellowship with other Christians?
Yes. And I say that because I believe that there's a high probability, not just possibility, high probability that we have multitudes listening to this broadcast today. They say, well, back 40 years ago, or 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, I got saved, but I got offended. Somebody stepped on my toes. Somebody didn't praise me enough. Somebody didn't recognize me enough. Or the preacher said something that crossed my wires, and I got all upset. And so I've just dropped out. But I still love Jesus. I don't worship. I don't go to church. I don't give any tithes and offerings. I don't read my Bible. I don't pray. But I'm saved. Is that possible, Dr. Phelps?
I have some questions about that. I wonder about that because when we're saved, when we come to trust in Christ, then God does something in our lives, and it's called transformation.
Yes.
God transforms us so that we become a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God gives us a new desire, a new want to.
Absolutely. I like that, a new want to.
Yeah.
We want to serve him. We want to honor him. Yeah. We want to read his word. We want to be with other believers. We want to hear the gospel preached. We want to hear the testimonies and the joy that others find in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, continue with your thought about God's master plan for the church.
In addition to building us together, the scriptures teach us in Ephesians chapter 3 and 4 that God is uniting us together. That talks about unity in the church. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God sees us as a group of believers, a body of believers, His people. So together, we become fellow heirs in Christ. And that's a really important thought. We become heirs to the things of God when we come to trust in Christ. And we'll say more about that that unity in the church later. God is also perfecting us together. Now, that word perfecting may be a new word for you to hear, but it simply means that God is building us up in the faith and bringing us to maturity. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Much could be said about that one verse, Ephesians 4:12. But you see, God wants you and me to grow up spiritually.
Right.
The edifying of the people of God is something important in the thinking and plan of God. God wants us to grow up spiritually. And when we become members of the body of Christ by believing in Christ, God wants us then to become mature in the faith, to grow up as a Christian. So He is doing that. Together, we are fellow members of the body of Christ. Think of it this way. When a child begins to grow, and I use that that terminology because the body of Christ, that is the church of God, is compared to the human body quite often in Paul's writings in Ephesians and other places. The body is compared to the church. And just as a human body has members, so the church has members. Are you a member of the church? That's the way you should want to identify yourself. And think of it this way. What if then that child, say at the age of six, had one of his arms to stop growing and it didn't mature, creating a deformity the rest of his life? That's not pleasing to the parents. Now, in the church, which has comparison there, God doesn't want this member or that one to stop growing because they would be then hindered from being what they could be, that prospect of what they could be as they grow up and mature in the faith. And working with the other members of the body, they then would fulfill their purpose in the body. God has each of us placed in the body, called the church, just like we have members in a body.
You talk about, Dr. Phelps, of growing in the body. I have found, and perhaps some of our listeners might identify with this, I have found that the more you study the Word, the more ignorant you feel about the Word. I've said so many times down through the years, I personally could spend, if it were possible, not 200 years, but 200 lifetimes studying the Scripture and never scratch the surface on the breadth and the depth of what God's Word has for us. So it's always surprising to me and always dilemmifying also for me personally when I find some that say they've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They do not know Genesis through Revelation, how to find the Bible books. They know maybe John 3:16, and somehow they feel that they have matured as a Christian. And there is a deformity, as you said. It is a growth factor. And I find so often the thing that is so vital and so needed in the Christian church today is maturing believers, believers that want to and are striving to mature in the faith. And maturing in the faith is simply through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And yet so many of these that I just shared a moment ago, before the break, so many, according to the Barna Report, that are looking for things other than the preaching, the teaching, the Word. Those that are looking for, and there's nothing, ladies and gentlemen, listen, there's nothing wrong with a good Christian music program in a church. But worship can be had without music. Dr. Phelps, the first mention of worship is in Genesis 22. And Genesis 22 is where Abram offered his son, his only son, as a sacrifice to God, and God called that act of sacrificial giving worship.
Yes.
There was not a minister of music there. There was not any rock and roll service there. There was not any waving of the hands and dancing in the church. It was simply sacrificial giving. That is called worship. And that is one of the things so vital and so needed today. So we talk about perfecting, being perfected together. That is so apropos, I believe, because we need to be growing in the Word of God. Continue with your thought on about God, of what we need to know about God's master plan for His church.
One of the things that I have noticed down through the years is that one of the factors that enters into our spiritual growth is church attendance. And that's why God tells us in the book of Hebrews 10 from 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as
right.
the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so church attendance is a way of maturing in the faith. And the book of Hebrews in the New Testament then is that admonition not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't quit on the church, but stay in there so that you will be a mature person and you will grow spiritually. That's very important because, you see, unless we are growing, we're not going to be fruitful in our lives. We will not bear fruit as a Christian. So God wants us to, together as fellow members of the body of Christ, support one another and encourage one another to grow in the faith. And then God is filling us together. Why? One of the commands in the New Testament is to be filled with the Spirit. And we find that the people at Ephesus needed to know that. When Paul first went to Ephesus, he asked them a question, whether or not they had received the Spirit of God since they believed. And he was surprised to hear them say, we've not so much as heard whether there be any
right.
Holy Spirit. And I believe that may be true of a lot of Christians. We don't realize the need we have of the Spirit of God being active in our lives, allowing Him to control us. So that's important because, you see, He's the one that helps us to serve, to labor, to do the work of the ministry. Together, we are fellow laborers in the gospel ministry. Now, you may not hear that unless you are under the sound of a man of God who preaches the Word of God faithfully and who's filled with the Spirit. We believe that's so important in my life and yours. God wants us to allow the Spirit of God to control us. Another thing is about this matter, what God is doing, is that He's strengthening us together. And that's why you have in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's talking about this matter of being strong in order that we can meet the onslaught, the efforts of the enemy to defeat us in spiritual warfare. Finally, yeah. my brethren, be strong in the Lord and power of His might. Together, we are fellow soldiers in the spiritual warfare, and we need to encourage one another. And as we work together, then we'll have more strength compounded as we serve the Lord in the church ministry.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, one of the things that comes to mind, and perhaps some of our listeners today may be pondering that, I've heard so many people say, well, the church, well, that's just man's invention. The church, that's just something that's designed by man to make money. I've heard all kind of slanderous, demeaning statements in relationship to how people view the church. And it sounds as though from many today, somehow, some way, the church is founded on man or by man. Tell us something about the foundation of the church. Did man found the church, or did the Lord Jesus found the church, or was it simply something that man thought up and was doing himself? The foundation of the church is Christ,
Amen.
As we find in the Scripture. So share with our listeners today something about what I call the fundamental foundation of the faith, which is the body of Christ, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that we thought up or man thought up. It's something that God has done through Jesus Christ. Talk with us for a minute about that.
When we talk about the church, it's not just an organization.
That is right. It's an organism.
Yes. The world's organizations are founded by men, funded by money, but the church is founded by Jesus Christ and is formed of believing Christians.
Yes.
Jesus said in Matthew 16, as he was talking with the disciples and talking with about something he intended to do, he said, "And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so Jesus was talking about building the church. Its foundation is Christ. He says, upon this rock, Jesus himself is the foundation stone of the church. Peter understood that because he wrote in his epistle, "Wherefore also it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." So we believe that its foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation stone of the church. Its founder is Christ the Lord. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Jesus Christ himself is the living stone of the scriptures, the chief cornerstone who's building the church. And Peter again comments on that in his epistle, 1 Peter 2:4, "To whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Even though he was refused by the religious people his day, we believe that the Lord is the foundation of the church and is formed of those who believe. Jesus said, "My church," the Bible tells us in Acts 5, "and believers were the more added to the church, added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." When we say added to the Lord and added to the church, we mean the same thing.
Added to the Lord, added to the church, talking about those that get saved.
Yes.
I believe we have a caller, Dr. Phelps. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for today's broadcast. It's very enlightening. I asked the question, if you're not a member of Christ's church, whose church are you a member of? There's, you know, you could be the member of I Don't Believe in God church, but I witness to a lot of people, and they'll tell me they're a member of a church, but when I ask them what church, what's the pastor, they can't tell me. But I notice they're wearing a Harley-Davidson belt buckle. You can ask them almost any question, what motor do you like? Oh, I like the 103 cubic inch. And what head design? Oh, I like the shovel head. If you can't answer very many questions, if you can't say what church you go to, if you can't answer any questions about the Bible, you just might be lost, Dr.
Well, it's strange that you say that. Let me add to that and have a little interplay with words here with you for a moment on that. Down through the years, I've had the privilege of communicating with thousands and thousands of people on that subject. And I will tell them, if you're already actively involved in a local New Testament church where you're learning the Word, studying the Word, stay there. But if not, we'd love to have you to come be a part of our fellowship. But generally, at some place in that, I'll say, by the way, are you a member of a church? Oh, yes. Where do you go to church? And they pause for a moment. They try to come up with a name. And then usually I'll give them a little slack there. And I'll say, well, tell me who the pastor is there. Who's your pastor? Well, it's been some time since I've been, but I don't recall. I think they've got a new pastor down there at that church. And then I'll say, well, when was the last time you were there? Well, whatever date they give. My question generally is, what did the pastor preach on when you were there? And they'd stumble. I said, well, he preached on the Bible, didn't he? Yeah. Well, he was preaching against sin, wasn't he? Yes. But the whole thing is, as you say, there are a lot of people that will talk about, yeah, they're a member of the church. Listen, it's an impossibility to be a member of the human race without being born. If you're born, you're alive. If you're alive, you're hungry. You've got to eat. If you're born again, if you're born from above, if you've been blood-bought, Bible-saved without any reservation, you're thirsty, you're hungry for the Word of God. And I believe that is a good indication of whether or not a person has been born again. So when we talk about church and the body of Christ, you're exactly right in your call. You're exactly right in saying many people will say that they're saved, they're part of the body of Christ, but they're not involved any place. And so that's a good indication, good illustration of what we're talking about today. It is a delight to have you joining in our broadcast and listening. Thank you so much for your call. Continue to pray for this broadcast. Invite others to join in each day and tune in to this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues. Dr. Phelps, what do you say to that statement that our caller just made?
That's so true. So many people want to evade their responsibility or their privilege, actually, being in the house of God on the Lord's Day. But as for me, through the years, I've learned that that's the most important part of my week, the first day of the week, when we come together as the people of God, because we serve a living Savior. Jesus is the salvation stone, and saved people, believers, are those who have received life through Him. And we are the living stones in the spiritual house, which is called the church. Its framer is the Spirit of God. See, Jesus said, "And I'll build my church." And we're told that the Spirit of God has a part in that. In the Old Testament times, God dwelt with His people in the holy temple that King Solomon built. Today, God dwells in His people, for the habitation of God through the Spirit is a living, growing, holy temple that's called the church. So when we speak of the church, it's the people.
Yes.
Those who God has saved.
Not a building.
Yes, not a building. Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Now, in those words, I believe that we can speak of that as the fullness is being in Christ, who's the head. Ephesians 1:22 says, "And hath put all things under His feet," under Christ's feet, "and gave Him," Jesus, "to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." So the head of the church is Jesus, and He should have the preeminence in all things. In the church is Christ's body, a living organism over which He's the head, and Christ is the only one who governs, guides, and leads in its affairs. And I'm so thankful that I can tell you about another thing. Jesus said that the church was His body, my church, because it's made up of those who are forgiven. Its forgiveness is by the blood of Christ, and that blood is precious in God's sight. Jesus is the living stone, the precious cornerstone,
yes,
whose precious blood was shed in order to obtain eternal redemption and forgiveness for
us. Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, what we've been trying to get us to understand today is that we're the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ, that we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Thank you so much for joining this broadcast today. Looking forward to next time as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.